Our New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. But I'd like to set up the scene a little bit for you and everything. This is the very familiar scripture about Nicodemus. And if you remember Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night and everything, we're all familiar with that. But John, in writing his gospel, really starts off telling us a lot more about what this is all about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. That's how John starts off the first chapter in his book. And then he goes along and talks about, then there was a man, and he's talking about John the Baptist, a man. And he talks about the Word becoming flesh, about Christ coming into the world. It says, the Word becomes flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And John, of course, cried out in the wilderness and testified that this is the Son of God. John said that a man comes after me that surpasses me because he was before me, talking about Jesus Christ. Over and over again, he talks about the man. The man Christ, and he talks about how he comes to the man, you and me, the men and women that he came to save. And he says, but the people did not know him. And it goes on to say that while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, it's talking about Jesus, many people saw the miraculous signs that he was doing and believed in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them because he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. So John has started off with a condemnation of man, saying that man sees the miracles Jesus is doing, has heard what the scripture has said through the ages, what man has learned from the ages that God has said about himself, and man has not heard it. And now comes Nicodemus, beginning here in chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. That would be the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, And you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this is the word of our Lord. Who was Nicodemus? Well, the Bible tells us a lot about Nicodemus. This is an old story, very familiar, and like so many of the familiar stories, they just kind of go over our heads a lot of times. I know until I really delved into the story of Nicodemus, I mean, obviously, everyone knows you need to be born again, be a born-again Christian and all that. And that's what we know about Nicodemus. That's where Jesus said that to him. But why did Jesus say that to him? And why in the world did John give us this account of Nicodemus? What is it supposed to tell us? Everything in the Bible is for learning and enrichment and to teach us how to have a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior. So who was Nicodemus? Well, it says that Nicodemus was a leader of, that he was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. Now, what are you thinking about when I say Pharisee? I bet you one of the first things that comes to your mind is hypocrite. Viper. That's what John the Baptist called him. That's what Jesus called him, wasn't it? Pharisees were much more than that. You know, the Pharisees in them, in what they were not bad. It's how they did it that was bad, and where they, and what they became. The Pharisees, Nicodemus is shown in this scripture to be a representative of man. Nicodemus is shown here to represent you and me. A man came to Jesus in the night. Now, we were going to pick a representative of us. If you were going to select someone, doesn't have to be from this church, doesn't have to be from the Presbyterian church, but if you were going to select someone to go and meet with Jesus, who would you select? Well, Nicodemus, it tells us, was a Pharisee. And the main group, there was only about 6,000 Pharisees, so this was a small group in the Jewish faith. And it was an elite group because they spent their lives striving to live what the law and the scriptures taught. You remember when John the Baptist said, "You vipers," and Jesus said, "You hypocrites." They were talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a different sect, not like the Pharisees. The Sadducees did not believe in the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in any afterlife or anything. They called themselves a religious group, but they were more of a political group. They kind of liked getting positions of leadership from the Romans. The scribes that were also criticized by John and by Jesus were the ones who studied the law their entire lives. The scribes wrote the law and put into writing what had been handed down from Moses. And they spent their lives trying to understand the meaning of the law. Knowledge was what they rejoiced in. Knowledge. And you got to remember, the Greek influence was very, very strong at this time. And the whole thing about Greeks was knowing things. Knowing more, learning more, teaching more, getting more knowledge. That's why the Greeks embraced so many different gods, because one god was good, another, got another god, let's learn about him. That's why the Romans embraced the Greek culture. The scribes wanted knowledge and they wanted to understand the meaning of Scripture. Not a bad thing. We have Bible studies to try to understand the meaning of Scriptures for our lives. The Pharisees spent their lives trying to live what the Scripture taught and what their traditions that had been handed down from Pharisees before them commanded. This is where the ceremonial washing came that they criticized Jesus for not doing, the fasting that they criticized Jesus. The Bible doesn't say you have to fast. The Pharisees said you have to fast. The Bible doesn't say, while it does teach cleanliness, it doesn't say that you have to go through this long 15-minute ritual before you ever eat anything of ceremonial washing. That's from the Pharisees' tradition. The Pharisees spent their lives living, trying to live what the scribes determined that the Bible was, that the Scriptures taught them. Not a bad thing for your representative to do. We also know that in addition to being a Pharisee, that it says that he was a leader of the Jews. Leader of the Jews means that he was on the Sanhedrin. You know, when they came forward and brought charges against Jesus to the ruling body of the Jews, Scripture later in John says that he spoke out and said and questioned whether they should condemn Jesus because he hadn't even been tried yet. He said, do not condemn him before he's been tried. So we know that he was on the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a very, very good representative. He was a person who lived the law, who believed in the law, who was a leader. He was just the kind of representative that you might want to represent man to Jesus. In his time, he was an Israelite of Israelites. Can you think of another Jew, another Pharisee, that the Bible talks about, who would have been an excellent representative of the Jews? Somebody else besides Nicodemus. Can you think of somebody else? This person is talked about extensively in the Bible. He was a leader. He led people. He was a zealot. He was righteous for the Jews and everything, and he would condemn anything that threatened the Jewish ways and customs. We're talking about Paul, originally named Saul of Tarsus, became Paul, but only after Christ knocked him down and blinded him and called him to serve him. So what made Paul different from Saul, the same person with a different name? Jesus Christ in his life made the difference. What Nicodemus was lacking wasn't the knowledge wasn't the ability, wasn't the leadership skills, wasn't the effort. He's put his whole life into following God's word. But he didn't embrace God. He didn't invite God into his life. He kept a wall between him and God. He kept a separation. And don't you know how many of us keep a wall between us and God? How many of us set a limit to our involvement with our Lord and Savior? How many of us have a limit for what we're willing to do, for how much we're willing to change, for how much we're willing to give, for who we're willing to be for Jesus Christ? Now, the problem wasn't that this was a bad man. The problem was that he thought that by keeping the rules and regulations, by following the doctrine, by doing the ceremonial things, by teaching the people, that he would have salvation. And what Jesus said to him was, "You have not listened to the prophets who have been told you, have told you." Even most recently, John the Baptist was saying, "Repent. Turn around. You have to change." In the words of Ronald Reagan, "Tear down that wall. Tear down that wall that's separating you from the personal, saving, loving relationship with Jesus Christ." So many of us have not yet found the way to breach that wall. We worship God, we pray to God, we give thanks to God, we give our money to God, we even give our time to God. But we don't give ourselves to God because we haven't truly been born again. We haven't gone through that complete change that can only come by placing your trust in our Savior. That's what it's all about, is trust. Nicodemus came to Jesus, but when did he come to Jesus? In the night. Now, we're not talking about nighttime in downtown Martinsburg with the streetlights on and everybody walks around until late in the evening. We're talking about in the darkness, coming, maybe with a small lamp. Coming to Jesus, hoping that no one saw him coming near this ruler, yet being drawn in. And I know he was drawn in because no one will come to Jesus unless they're drawn. That's not the nature of man. That's not the nature of woman. That's not the nature of us. But even when we're drawn in, doesn't mean that we will surrender our lives and our hearts and ourselves to the Spirit. I got to tell you that I went through many, many, many years of my life believing that I was a good Christian man who could look forward to eternal life. And yet there was this wall. There was this limit. There was this barrier that I was not willing to breach. It gave me comfort. It gave me security. It gave me no hope. It gave me no future. But it was mine, and I held on to it for as long as I could. And I think many of us want to believe that we have this relationship with Jesus Christ, yet we have this wall, this barrier, this limit that we're willing to go. This limit that we're willing to set. This separates us from the true joy and the true freedom that can only come from being born again in the Spirit. Being born again into a new life with Jesus Christ. It's scary to give up what we know as ourself. It's scary to give up what we know and is familiar. But Christ is calling us, and He says, come with me and walk with me, and yoke yourself with me. My burden is light. And yet we struggle. And we keep this protection, and we keep this wall, and we keep this distance, and we keep this self that we're not willing to give up to Jesus Christ. And this is why Nicodemus was used to represent. And we don't know whether Nicodemus ever repented, ever turned around. We do know that he was still in the Sanhedrin when Jesus was brought before them. We do know that he did not stop the Sanhedrin, but we don't know. We know that another member of the Sanhedrin came and attended to Jesus and prepared him for a burial. Don't you remember if Joseph came and prepared Jesus for burial after he was crucified? So we can't ever pretend to know who God's working on, how God's working in them. We do know what Jesus did to Paul. Paul was just like Nicodemus. He was a leader. He was probably on the Sanhedrin. He certainly was persecuting Christians. And God called him. God tore down that wall. God tore down that barrier. And Paul embraced it and spent the rest of his life never knowing where he would be led, never knowing what he would be doing. But he was born again and led to serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Giving up self, giving up that barrier is hard. It's scary. But it's what we're called to do. And until we give up that barrier, until we give up the limits that we set between us and our Lord and Savior, we can never know the peace and the joy and the freedom that can await us, because we're imprisoned by our own barrier. We're imprisoned by the limits that we set upon ourselves. Jesus Christ is calling and telling us that the prophets have been saying this since the very beginning, since the fall of Adam. God has been seeking to renew His relationship with man. He has said it through Abraham. He has said it through Moses. He has said it through Noah. He has said it through Jonah. He has said it through Isaiah and Isaac and all the prophets of the Old Testament. And yet Jesus is telling Nicodemus that you did not hear. You will not hear. We choose not to understand. And we need to tear down those barriers, to open ourselves, to give ourselves to the very Creator that created us. The one who loves us and the one who knows us. And the one who calls us to be His. As you go out this week and spend time this week, I hope you'll take time to spend time in reading this book of John, the whole book of John. Spend time in dwelling this and dwell upon these words and ponder them in your heart and ask God to give you an understanding of what He is calling you to do. Ask God to give you the Holy Spirit to lead you past that barrier, past that wall that we have built, to know Him fully and to truly understand as only one who is born again into Jesus Christ can know. May God bless us all. Amen.